The LSB is now back in session. Barbara.
I trust that all the LSB members got a copy of this four-page thing, and I hope that the audience has copies or at least one they can share with somebody. Is this on? Is this on? Okay. Now, the first page, you've seen this kind of report more frequently than the one that's... This contains two reports. And the first one is an update on the fund drive that we just finished. At the top are the handwritten dates where it started on April 29th and went through May 23rd. And the report was gathered on... what was that, Thursday, this past week, June 11th. So the date is important because it shows the amount of money that has come in compared to what was pledged. We call that the fulfillment rate. And these figures are according to what type of pledge, what type of income has been brought in. For instance, the first paragraph, if you look on the left, by purpose, acquisitions means new donors. That's the term that the computer system has uses for that kind of pledge. And renewals, that's obvious. Somebody who's been a member has renewed their membership. Rejoins is usually used for someone who hasn't donated for quite some time but did in the past. Additional gifts is also clear. This is money donated by people who are already members who donate over and over again, sometimes many times during a fund drive. The next, going down by response method, it shows the amount that was pledged from on air, you know, people calling in. Then we have a new figure that we hadn't put into the previous statements like this because now we've begun using this call center service to get rollover calls. And then there is the amount of money that comes in on the website during fund drives. You keep going down. The lump sum payment means somebody paid in one payment. The next is they spread their payment over installment plans. The electronic funds transfer plan is one that is long-term. Some of you already are familiar with these terms because you've got seen these reports before, but for so many people in the audience, I'm kind of going over what these the jargon means. Payroll plans. We are not participating in any payroll plans currently. Then the division between people paying by credit cards or without a credit card. This is significant to us because we, of course, pay some bank fees for processing all debit and credit donations. And I'll tell you, it's not on broken down here, but just for your own information, if you're donating with a debit card, we get it faster than if it's a credit card. and it costs us a little less. Just for your non-card is, you know, the folks who say, please send me a bill and I'll send you a check. And then there's a breakdown of those donations where people requested a premium and those that did not. Then the gifts by size, you'll see the breakdown in that way. The next column of money, where it says total paid at the top, this is what has been paid on these donations so far. And then the difference is obviously the amount that would still be coming in over time if all the pledges were paid. And I should point out that this figure, $664,302.31, represents the pledges for both KPFA and KFCF. The KPFK pledges are not reflected in this report. Those are transmitted to KPFK. So the fund drive total that we achieved, which was over $760,000, included the Los Angeles pledges at that time, the one that's on the tally board in the phone room. But in fact, since the LA pledges are sent off to them, this report is just KPFA and KFCF. It's approximately 6%. There are reports that come out, you know, at the end of each month when the data center gets the some pledges paid by the zip codes in the Fresno area. Then our business manager cuts a check and sends it to them. So, all right. Now, if you turn the page to 2 and 3 and then 4, this is the little more complicated or lengthy report that lists how much in pledges and income is attributable to each program. And sometimes it's not just a program. It is, for instance, a particular item that was used in various programs over and over. The brain change, the well, if I've been told that if, for instance, a regular host had a special like the brain change, well, there's another one too that I liked. It was, yes, the specials where they have Alan Watts. Yes, many hosts use these, work it into their regular program. But then there are times, as the fund drive goes on, where certain things are, programs are exempted and special will be put in place. So when Alan Watts is put in as a special in place of a program, then those that is listed here by itself. So Alan Watts was used many more times than just 5. But he was used 5 times as a replacement for some show.
Oh, is that called really total errors and not total
breaks? Well, the breaks are the show, the program itself. If it's an hour program, that's one break. If it's a half-hour program, that's one break. It's the show. The program, how many times the program appeared. Yeah. During this fund drive period. And so then it's translated into the total number of minutes, you can see in the next column. The total amount pledged for each of these. What's wrong?
Okay, first of all, at the very top,
Where there is nothing corresponding, no program name, no special thing, that's a representation of donations that came in without the person designating what they were donating for. I am not privileged to how this got into here, but that's what I've been told. And it may include things on the web. He was only in the fund drive once. I will make a question mark, and we'll find out what from Chris Stelic why that occurred. In any case, you can look through here, and if you guys keep talking, then everybody can't hear, really.
Okay, Andrea's privileged. Keep it down,
please. You can go through here and make your own comparisons about which shows and which particular special items that were put on.
I have a suggestion. Why don't people who have questions about what's in here kind of make a list of the questions? And then either they can be raised kind of as a list or can be given as a list to be checked on about this. This is new information that we've got, and I think what we want to do is let Barbara go through so all of us get a handle on what's in here and then get to the questioning.
Okay. If you follow across the page from left to right, pick any program that you would like to examine, and you'll see the amount pledged, the amount paid so far, the difference, meaning the amount that's expected to still come in, and the fulfillment rate. That's what the percentage is in that column. And then, you know, it gives average pledge and the average of what's paid. And then the last four columns are all about pledge counts, not money. So looking at the second line where there's 55 pledges and 45 were paid and 10 are yet to be paid, that's 81.8% of that particular group of pledges that's paid. But the fulfillment rate for donations is this column more in the middle that just says rate. Okay? Let's see here. For instance, just take as one example, the Bonnie Simmons Show has a very high fulfillment rate currently, and I know that the reason that happens is because they offer many tickets for events. So when someone calls and gets that premium, they have to pay for it immediately. That's the only way tickets are distributed. So that's one reason that fulfillment rate is very high at this point for that show, just to give you an idea of how to read this document. So do people want to give me questions? And
let's do the same thing we did previously on questions. Let's take a few at a time, and then they'll be answered. So we'll start with Joy, Andrea, Janet. And Lewis. Sorry, Lewis. And actually, if any of you have more than one question, we'll stop so that we're giving three questions at a time, just as we did previously.
Okay, thank you, Barbara, for your work. I know how hard all this is. So my question specifically, I'd like you to ask Chris Stelnick or whoever. One, what does that first line represent where there was 16 and no name listed? Two, how come About Health is only listed for 30 minutes? And one, pledge break, and I know they did two this last time because I was there. And that's it.
Okay.
Just those three things.
Well, those are things that I have to ask the data manager about, and that's what I'll do.
Yeah, I'm a little confused of just when it says program title as the column, but something like the mind-body special, for example, or even the trial of Muhammad Ali, these are premiums, right?
And I just explained a little while ago, I know it was kind of complicated, but these premiums were offered on shows by hosts.
Right. So
and then they also were used when other programs were preempted, put in at a special time. So when the premium is listed by itself here, that refers to those times when it was not in a regular show with a regular host. It was used as a preemption. So then they just counted the premium.
Does that mean that they played it?
Well, I guess I...
Can I have the
microphone? First of all, we're doing three questions and then getting the answers. And so
I mean,
that's your question, Andrea.
Well, then I guess I would direct your attention to, like, the hemp special. The hemp special.
Okay, next question. Okay.
All right. I still don't understand it, but
okay.
I don't understand your accounting. I don't understand if it's taken.
You're not.
Is the if the program played, if the mind body special played, it played during, it preempted some program. You just automatically subtracted it, so. Yeah, I guess I don't understand.
No, I didn't subtract it. First of all, the data manager did this report. But what I'm saying is when somebody who wouldn't ordinarily use that in their regular fundraising that day, a regular host, someone else came in and was directed to preempt one show, and they put on that particular premium.
So, for example, if the morning mix was preempted,
uh-huh,
and the mind-body connection was played, you know, if Brian played that during that preemption, that means it should only be counted as. So you're saying that this says that only happened one time.
That's what it looks like here. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I don't think it's accurate. I think I.
Mm-hmm.
Janet.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether this the numbers, or at least some of the numbers, are not complete or.
On which page?
Oh, well, I don't know. Well, there are some blank spots, but like on page 2, under differences, well, I guess the difference should be 0. In those cases, it doesn't show a 0, but. In some, you know, the blanks.
Are you looking in column under differences? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I see blank spots.
Yeah, yeah. So
and you look just to the right, you'll see 100%. And that means that what was pledged was paid. There's right. No pledge waiting to be paid for that particular show or segment.
Right. In any
so
case.
Then.
All right.
That's
all
why right. There's a blank spot.
Right.
Cause that's
then, yeah. But then there is the show Twitwit, which is on page 3, that played 3 times, and it shows one pledge for $237.81, which is, that seems kind of odd. I would think there probably
somebody
would be more.
Somebody may have, you know.
Right, but I would like you to look into whether these are the final numbers. That's my request.
Well, these reports evolve as pledges are paid. So at some later date, if this pledge came in, there will be a different figure there.
Yes, but I'm not talking about whether the pledges are paid. I'm talking about the number of pledges to start with.
Okay, I'll ask the data manager, but I'm sure that the data is in there.
Lewis.
Democracy Now, is that listing for both shows?
Yes.
Thank you.
Burton. David.
Barbara, I understand that this is a report that is one slice of an ongoing thing. But from your experience, what generally is the fulfillment rate in our fund drives?
Our fulfillment rate is about 89% to 90%, which I'm told is the highest in the network.
And is there any information with regard to how quickly that comes up to that amount? How long we have to wait for the pledges to come in?
I'm not aware of, you know, some over history saying this year was better than that, but I'm sure it varies.
Okay, thank you.
Probably connected to the whole economy.
David.
Personal privilege.
Yes, Jack.
As a point of personal privilege, I would appreciate it if members of the board and guests at the board meeting would refrain from all side conversations while the board is doing its business.
David.
I have a question, Barbara. You said this is prepared by the data manager. Who is the
Chris Stelick.
I see. Thank you.
Going once. Andrea.
Is there more to the treasurer's report than just this item?
I have many other things, but the next item is also treasurer's business, and so.
Okay, so we're going to go on to the next part of the treasurer's thing.
Okay.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I have to hand out. Okay, this is going to go really fast because this statement you actually were given in April, and we don't have any updated figures from the national office for the amount that they are entering into the whole computer system. They have not put in entered any payroll and all the related expenses since February. So there's not a lot to talk about here except that it is preliminary. I want to say that over and over again. this is our books in our business office has entered much beyond this, but there's no point in giving you a complete financial report because we don't have the information that the national office is responsible for contributing. They have all the payroll records, all the health benefits, the taxes that go along with that, and there's no, we didn't want to give any incomplete report without the payroll. And this hasn't, our business manager didn't find this out until this week, that there had been no entries for any of the payroll expense since February. So, now, no, it's Tracy.
Hey,
she's
Tracy, please sit down. What's going on?
Okay.
Oh, she's not talking to you. I'm sorry.
I have two more things now. You know, the special orders of business that we set up in for the whole year had to do with a number of things were related to the budget process. And there were two discussions we had. One was in February and one was in March. The first was budget brainstorming, and the second was budget setting priorities. Of course, those parameters were a little hard to stick to, and a lot of comments got in that were related to the budget, but not necessarily that in that manner. So here is, I typed up the notes that I took during those two discussions that the LSB had. Oh, hand me one. I need to keep one. Sorry. Thank you. And you'll all look on here and see the comments that you made previously. These are, you know, people's desires for our budget, and these will be taken into account when we are the management staff are making up the budget. And we will have another meetings that we will allow, you know, advertise that board members or could come and talk over the budget as it is being drawn up. But it has not begun. The budget committee, the National Finance Committee did not begin meeting this year until May 28th. And we've had two meetings, and we are going to be meeting twice a month at least, and then after a while, much more frequently. Okay. We could talk about those ideas if you want to, you know, reemphasize things that you mentioned before, but let me hand you one more document. And this is something that people have asked for in the past. And so we have a list here for the fiscal year that ended in September of 2013. So it began in October of 2012. A list of the speaker events and the amount of money that they brought in and what they cost. So there's a net figure for 21 different speaker events. This is a one-sheet deal. Yeah. Please make sure the LSB has them first. Just be glad, Jack. Now, there's the list of 21 events. You'll notice that if you look in the kind of middle, there's the net figure. There were only two that lost a little money. Both of those lost less than $1,000. And by the way, the total net figure at the bottom more than covers the halftime salary of the coordinator that's paid to run this program. At the bottom of the net column, that more than covers the salary of the halftime coordinator for the who runs this program.
So he's not included in expenses,
not on this sheet. On the back of the page, because now we've started discussing the premiums that are created by these special events programs. On the back of the page, the premiums, the cost of making these recordings, the DVDs and CDs, is listed here, and the thumb drives. The approximate cost of the first part is making the recording. The next part, premium expense, is duplicating it. So these are the, you know, there's a lot of income that is produced after the sale, the ticket sales and the events. There is a lot of income produced by these premiums that we distribute, you know, and offer to our listeners. I don't have a copy of a report that I have seen, which tells how much over the last, it's more than this fiscal year, but how much we have earned just from the premiums. And for the DVDs and CDs, it's over $200,000 for a year and 9 month period. And over $200,000 also for the thumb drive premiums. Okay.
Are you ready to take questions?
I'm ready to take questions. And does anybody want to, I mean, please include anything you might want to mention about this list of topics that are, it's, you know, my abbreviated notes from February and March, where you all presented your favorite things you want us to spend money on.
All right, I'm going to read the list of people I have so far. I have Don, Janet, Margie, Jack, Joy, David. Did I miss anybody? Okay.
Which David?
David W. Margie wants to do the three questions. If Barb follows your orders, Margie, we could do that. If not, we won't, and you'll relax, okay?
Let's just kind
of... Don, let's just relax. Don.
Yeah. the last thing you said, Barbara, it seems to me, responds to the questions that Andrea and Joy had a couple of months ago about what exactly these speaker events actually generate in revenue. And I'm not sure whether they heard it because they were busy talking with one another. But I wish I would ask that you repeat those numbers so that people understand that this speaker event series is not just this net income of $39,770. It's in fact well over $200,000 per year when you put together the pledge premiums that get generated from these speaker events, and so much so that I had a conversation with somebody at WBAI a few weeks ago. He said, are you guys aware that these premiums exist here? And he said, no. I said, why aren't you aware and why aren't you using them? And he said, that's a really good idea. I'm going to bring it up with our manager. Why aren't we using it throughout the network? Because this is fabulous. period.
So where it lists the premiums expense, do the amounts include the cost of labor?
These are duplicated by the people in the subscriptions office, meaning Phil Osageda and any staff in there. And no, that's not. But they are, it's when you put 12 CDs on a machine that duplicates them all at once, it's, you know, not.
Just asking.
Yeah.
Were you going to do what Don asked also?
You want me to repeat the amount of money we've made on these things? Yeah, over $400,000 in a year and 9 months.
Did you hear that, Andrea? $400,000. Okay. All right, Margie.
Yeah, that's right. And
the premiums
I'm sorry you're hard of hearing, and I'm sorry I didn't use the mic, but you don't have to yell. It's offensive.
Can we have this?
I had to get that out. I'm just asking you, were you saying that the premiums generated from this generated $400,000 over what period of time?
I'm saying that it was over a year and 9 months. That's a calculation that I've seen, but I don't. It wasn't a report that was in any shape to be able to give you, but that was the calculation. Over 200,000 was from CDs and DVDs, and another over 200,000 from the thumb drives.
All right. Now, that was really Don's question, Barb's answer, and now we're going to Margie.
My question is the same, but what I would like to ask Barbara to do is ask the business office to generate a report on how much money we make off of the premiums that are derived from the events program so that we can have that information. Thank you.
This is a new kind of analysis that's just begun, and so I'm sure there's going to be more formal report.
Jack.
At the last LSB meeting that I attended, there were accusations of financial mismanagement and theft and embezzlement of funds having to do with KPFA events such as these. The people who made those accusations of theft, fraud, mismanagement, and embezzlement were invited to come into the office to check the records and satisfy themselves as to whether this theft, fraud, embezzlement actually took place. I would like to know if they have availed themselves of that opportunity. I would like to know if they are satisfied as to the financial regularity of these events, and I would like to know if those accusations stand open or have been closed.
Well, those are obviously questions I can't answer, so.
Well, you can answer, perhaps. You can answer, perhaps, whether or not the people who made those accusations availed themselves of the possibility of going into the office and checking the records.
I don't believe they did.
Thank you.
Mark, do you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Joy.
Oh,
Joy.
No. So first of all, Donald, I wish you wouldn't look at me and tell me what I'm doing and not doing and pay attention to your own self. If I'm talking to Andrea, it's my business. I would like to ask why we're only reporting through September of last year. Can we get some more updated stuff? And the other thing I didn't quite understand, when we talk about expenses, are we talking about the MCs? Do they get paid? I'd like a breakdown of the expenses beyond premium expense. So we have the income of paid tickets. I'm assuming that's what that second column. The expenses of the actual mechanical putting on of the event. And all you said was the $3,970,000 covered the cost, the employment cost of the part-time coordinator. Still, that does not tell us how much we made, because I don't know how much of this net covers is his salary.
I said it more than covered.
Okay, so what
and,
I'm saying...
And the only reason I didn't include what salary was covered is that's personal information that we don't make public.
Okay, listen
and,
to
and
me.
And believe me, it's more than covered.
Let me explain to you. We do make public the cost of a position in our organization.
And well, when
wait,
we advertise
let me finish.
Them.
And in order for us to have accurate information, we need to know how much it costs the person who is administering this program. And however you want to do it, you don't have to tell us what it is, but I'd like an accurate reflection of what these events cost us. And without putting the labor in there, we're not getting it. So I would like that information somehow. That's my request.
I've put down that you want an updated report. This is
yes.
One that was done for a fiscal year period. And I've put down that you want a breakdown of the expenses.
Yes. Thank you.
David.
Yeah, I have several questions here. One is... It seems to me that when an event is over, the money that is generated is normally added up right after the event, and the expenses are known within a day or so of the event. Why is this information not updated? So that's one question. Another thing, I think when people raised questions at the previous meetings about these events, it was because of this opaqueness here. Why, there's been events since last September. Here it is June. That's 9 months ago. You know, there's an opacity here, a cloak or something that's it's not being presented in a timely manner. I mean, I think no organization waits 9 months to report to its board what the income and expenses are. This should be a cut and dry thing, not a big deal. And it should just be available for examination by anybody on the board, it seems to me. And so I don't think it's fair to say that people have been saying, on this board, have been saying that there's embezzlement or all these other things, that loaded words that were used. I think what we're talking about is questions because of the opaqueness of this procedure. Okay, that's the second thing I have is that it was said by Barbara that the $39,770 over this period of time more than covers the half-time salary of the coordinator. Now, who is the coordinator? Is that Bob Baldock, or is that another person?
That's Bob Baldock.
Oh, I see. So he has a half-time salary, and does he have employees or people that he pays?
I'm not sure whether there might be some extra paid help once in a while if it's a big event. This would show up in the breakdown of expenses that Joy is asking about.
Right. And then... the other thing that when you were reporting earlier, Barbara, about the amount of money generated in premiums, it was over 200,000, and at another point you said over 400,000. So I wanted to clarify, is it over 200,000 and or is it over 400,000? And as Margie said, I think it would be very good if we would have this as a report every month, you know, of an up-to-date accounting. I mean, it should be known by the next day what the expenses and income for
it
each event
is. Known. It is known in the business office. The records are there. It takes a lot of time to put a report together. And I asked the business manager to give us this report so that we could have one, because you've all been asking about the income and the expenses for this program. And it's a little disheartening to have the accusations that since you don't have a report right up to this day, there's something wrong. There is nothing wrong with the record keeping in our business office.
Okay.
This is not, you know, it takes a great deal to put this report together, and this is another report that it takes time in the computer, and there's many duties that person has. Mm-hmm. And we can have more frequent reports, but I really think you should stop talking about how this is not opaque, or it is opaque, or whatever it
well,
is.
Well, I'm just asking, and I would like to ask the board to ratify this, that we get regular report, monthly reports, up-to-date reports. Why should we wait 9 months to get a report about this? Mm-hmm.
Craig.
Well, I guess I have all this attention on the events schedule is kind of bizarre. If the events generate 50 cents more than they cost, they're worth it. So I don't know where the logic is or where this is going, but anyway, that's a separate question. That's not what I wanted to ask. Two questions related to earlier documents, Barbara, you passed out. Back to the first one, which was the breakdown of donations by type, by response, and so forth. The payroll plans, I'm just curious why we don't pursue that. I'm sure you've talked about this in the past, and I just want to be reminded about that. And maybe you could explain what the payroll plan donations are. And then the second one has to do with the second report you passed out, the unaudited, preliminary unaudited P&L. So at the top, and this is current as of February of this year, I can speculate as to why we don't have anything more current than February. But we have a surplus, according to this, of $179,000. And I'm wondering if you have any kind of estimate. I know you want to qualify this, but do you have any kind of rough estimate as to where we are now once payroll and other costs are figured in? The reason I ask is that we are supposed to be planning for a budget according to our usual schedule. I believe it needs to be finalized next month or possibly the month after, and the figures we have, according to this report, are months out of date. And I'm just wondering if we have any idea of where we are and how much money we have to work with and what we're looking at for the coming year.
I can answer something about that. I have another partial report that I'm not handing out to people, but I can read some things from it. And it is, I asked the business manager to just give me a rundown on the revenue that we've had for the first two quarters, in other words, through January, February, March. So from October through March. And she did. I have the budget figure here that was speculated to have raised by that time, and the amount that we have raised, and the amount that is at this point under that figure. And the total revenue per our budget for the first half of the year for income was $1,731,380. And we have actually brought in, and I have to say, this is without the CPB money, and I don't know if people know in the past how it works with the CPB money. We would get some notice as to how much it was going to be, and it would go into the budget before it actually arrived. But at this point, we haven't gotten any word about what it's going to be. So our actual column of funds raised doesn't include even a speculation about the CPB money at this point. So the actual amount of revenue that we've brought in is $1,637,853. This leaves us at mid-year, $93,527 behind the budgeted amount. Just as a reminder, the fiscal year revenue budgeted amount was $3,461,764. In other words, we need to make up the rest of that by the end of September. And so that's the payroll plan. You know, I'm not sure. Oh, you know about that? Okay. Sometimes there are things, items in our computer system that other stations use and we don't. That's one thing I know, but Margie has it.
Wait.
Well, I just want to say I used to donate to KPFA on a payroll plan, and it's where your employer agrees to take money out of your checks on a pre-tax basis and forward it to whatever 501c3 you designate. And that's what a payroll plan is.
Mm-hmm.
It's your turn. Oh. Are all your questions answered? Margie.
What was my question? Oh, I just wanted to say that about, you know, the discussion about the events thing is that $40,000 or even $60,000 or $70,000 is not a huge part of our income and expenses. And I think that what is much more significant about the events, and I hope we will be able to focus on this in the future, is that the recordings from those events turn out to be enormously profitable to the station because they're used as fundraising. They're used as premiums during fund drives. And so, you know, I'm confident that if you want to see the records for the events in the current fiscal year, you can go to the office and Maria will show them to you. I don't think that's an unreasonable request, and I think we should, people who are concerned could do that. And I think that asking Maria to make a report, I would not suggest on a monthly basis, but maybe on a quarterly basis to us about events, would also not necessarily be unreasonable once the format for the report is set up. It would be fairly easy, I think, to generate one. I think monthly is onerous and unnecessary, but I think quarterly would be totally reasonable.
That concludes the list of people I have who want to have a conversation about any of these items. Do you have another?
No, either. I think I've shot my wad here.
All right, and does that include...
Well, unless anybody wants to talk about these notes from your, you know, that you brought up.
I didn't see them lining up to do it, Barbara.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
Which document are you looking at
I'm
now?
Looking at the preliminary unaudited P&L, page 1 of 6. Item number 30, board expense. Is that the PNB?
No, this is our KPFA LSB board.
$20,000? Okay.
Well, I think that's the budget.
Oh, I see. So
and I think that includes the money for an election.
Okay. And number 33, development expenses?
Well, we have a department that we call the development department, even if we don't have a development director. And that's where they handle the donations and process the reports of, about the fundraising.
I see. And so the election was a year and a half ago, was it not?
You mean the last time we had one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying this $20,000 was from that last election a year and a half ago?
This was for the budget. This figure was put in for the budget for
the
fiscal year.
I understand that. I was just saying that it sounded like a lot for a budget item to budget $20,000.
Well, it includes some other board expenses, like we pay rent for this room.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now, let me...
Oh, wait. One more thing. Does the development expenses include personnel?
No.
Okay.
The personnel is all separate.
Okay.
See the line 29?
Yes.
That's everyone who's paid.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, was this just your treasurer's report?
No, is this everything.
So this was also the special order of business, right. 6-month financial review. Okay. So actually... Now it is 2:30, and so we're going to move to the PNB report, and we're a half an hour behind business. Behind.
I'll be very brief. The Pacifica Foundation is involved in a couple of different lawsuits. Members of the Pacifica board. Who are called Pacifica Directors for Good Governance, filed a lawsuit. I think I reported on this last month, but I can't remember. My brain doesn't work. So the attorneys defending the foundation and the board majority filed a countersuit, which resulted in a preliminary injunction being issued ordering Summer Reese to leave the Pacifica National Office, which she did. And then subsequently, the Pacifica Directors for Good Governance filed another motion to disqualify the attorneys who are defending the foundation and the board majority. And the judge issued she offered a preliminary ruling which denied that motion. And that was to be heard this past week. It was contested by the judge's ruling was contested by the PDGG, and their attorney asked for that the hearing be postponed. The hearing was to have taken place last Thursday, and it's now scheduled for next Friday. There are other legal issues in the broil. We are also being sued by. Free Speech Radio News for having violated our contract with them by not paying them in ways that we promised to pay them in documents which were negotiated and signed by Summer Reese. That's on the legal front, and I have to say that as chair of the board and and a defendant in now. A couple of different lawsuits. A lot of my time has been consumed by this stuff, which doesn't interest me. I don't like it. I want to say on a more positive note that as Barbara reported about the Finance Committee, the national committees of the PMB are now up and running. I think every committee has either met or is scheduled to meet, and there have been conveners assigned, some of whom have been elected as chairs of the committee, some have not. We are looking forward to some financial reports. The CFO and the staff in the national office have been busy preparing for the audit, which will begin on June 30th, that's when the auditors will meet with people in the national office for the first time. As I think everyone is aware, the finances of the of the network are extremely tenuous. Richard referred in when he was speaking to the fact that nearly every time there is payroll, either KPFA or KPFK or both are asked for additional money, which becomes, are asked for money to cover payroll for WBAI, WPFW in DC, or the national office. The problem with this is it's sort of, you know, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, because what happens is when the KPFA and KPFK turn money over to the national office ahead of schedule, that is before their central services are due, then that reduces the amount that that we have available or that we need to pay the next time central services are due, and it reduces the income into the national office. So it's a bad, you know, spiraling down situation. So I think that's it. There will be a PMB meeting this Thursday, and anyone who would like to is welcome to listen in on their computer and hear what we have to say.
So, Janet.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that the election committee is looking into LSB elections and the viability of the same. There currently is, it starts with the hiring of a national election supervisor, NES, and that has not happened, and the bylaws require that that happened in March, and if not, no less than 90 days before the nominations are set to open nominations for candidates. And then there's all kinds of other time constraints in the bylaws of different phases of doing the election and the actual sending out ballots and all that kind of thing. There's also a matter of paying for the election process. So the election committee is looking into how that can happen, or it's very tricky. The next election committee meeting is on June 17th at 5:30 Pacific time. And you can listen online at kpftx.org. And then there's another meeting after that on June 23rd. I'm sorry, it's a Monday, also at 5:30.
On discussion? I have a question. Did you have a question?
No, let me think.
Janet, I have the impression that you no longer support the lawsuit. You've pulled your name off the lawsuit against Pacifica.
I'm no longer a member of the PDGG.
Can you say anything to us about that? Anything else? Mark? Use the microphone.
You may not be a member, but are you removed from the from the lawsuit? You've indicated you're no longer a member of PDGG, but are you still a member of the lawsuit?
No, I'm not, because the lawsuit is brought by the members of the PDGG.
Has the court... Has the court been informed?
I was wondering, I don't know if this is appropriate for open session, but I'm wondering what the status is in the national office. I mean, are the staff now working along together? And has anybody... I guess have records been examined or things been checked to make sure everything's in order and there, you know, there wasn't like disruption or things thrown out and so forth. Like, is the office still whole and is it back in business and are people working together? That's my question.
The current interim executive director, Bernard Duncan, is working in the office on an almost daily basis and is receiving full cooperation from the staff. The controller, Maria Gate, resigned and has been replaced, and the CFO and all of the financial staff are hard at work getting ready for the audit, so that a number of other things have not happened, like the kinds of things you want, because you want to know about, because they're busy trying getting ready to deal with the audit and the auditors. But there certainly is an interest in those in finding out what, if anything, and some of that stuff. I think would naturally turn up during the audit as well.
Then I guess my follow-up question is, do we anticipate that the figures, just a few minutes ago, Barbara was talking about payroll and other information from the national office that KPFA needs in order to prepare its budget and reckon its accounts. Are we going to get that, and do you know when? Because, like, we got a plan for a budget here.
Right. The intention is there was a motion from the National Finance Committee, and the which has been communicated to the CFO and to the IED, and the intention is to get those records, those reports, and the information needed for the. You understand that KPFA is not the only one who's in this situation. This is a situation that pertains throughout the network. With not having information generated by the national office. But the intention is to do that as soon as possible and hopefully before the middle of July.
I just wanted to make a comment about the fact that our business manager is also preparing for the audit, and in fact we are very much up to date as fast as we can incorporate and analyze and get the records ready for any auditor who's going to be coming and asking for this and that. That's what they do.
Did somebody else? Paula.
I was just wondering then, what is this community broadcasting funding contingent on? Is it contingent on the audit?
It is contingent on the audit and also on reports, compliance reports, which are forwarded from someone who is employed by the national office, who is our CPB compliance officer. And those reports, the compliance reports have to do with doing the right thing on the air and following, you know, certain procedures and all kinds of notices, and it's a big long list of things. And I believe those are up to date, and we are waiting on the financial reports.
Burton.
Margie, I listened into one of the PNB meetings and found it excruciating. My question to you is, have you been able to get through an agenda?
We're doing better and better. One of the things we accomplished at our last meeting was to limit the amount of time we can spend discussing an agenda, because as people who have listened in the past know, that we have spent entire meetings talking about the agenda and not actually taking any action. So I think that will improve the situation going forward. This Thursday will sort of be the proof of the pudding. There are a number of items on the agenda that absolutely need to be dealt with, and we are now limited to spending 20 minutes discussing changes to the agenda.
Thank
so
you.
That's our situation.
You have one. May I say something?
Yes, you may.
Margie's report about the committees reminded me, and I'm sorry I don't have this information in front of me, but we did solicit participants, volunteers for the various Pacifica committees a few months ago, and I don't believe, I believe some of the committees are still unfilled with representatives from this station. And so what I'll do is look that up and I'll email everybody. And it, now that the committees sound like they're up and running or getting off the ground, it would be good if we redoubled our efforts to make sure that we have representation on those committees. There are things like governance and audit and elections and programming, I think, you know, things like that. So I will dig up my notes and send that around to folks and think about it, because it would be good to have everybody have us on all the committees there.
I just want to say one more thing about the committees. If you go to the Pacifica Foundation website and look at click on the PMB and then click on calendar, you'll be able to see when the committees meet. And the committees pretty much meet consistently on the same day every month, so that if you're thinking about volunteering for a committee and you know that you have church choir practice that night, you'll know that that's not a good night for you. But anyway, you can look at the calendar and get an idea of when the meetings take place.
Okay, I think we're at the CAB report.
Great. I'm Robin Collin with Community Advisory Board, and we did hold our second town hall meeting. The first one was really well attended. About 70 people came and generated some interest in the second one, which we had at the Marcus Garvey. It was co-sponsored by Overcomers at the Marcus Garvey building, and they are a broadcast network program for at-risk youth. So we were trying to gather youth and bring youth into the station, as we've noticed we're a little older on the set here. But so we had one of our members, Ramen Jamal, performed. He actually has a Rap Force Academy, so he had his student perform. It was really excellent and well-received. Everyone that came really enjoyed it. Then we had breakout groups like we did at the first meeting. Different groups were about KPFA governance, one about health, one about urban gardening, and one about political and racial justice. And we have notes that we haven't compiled all the way to be able to present individual detail, but each group kept coming back to this program council. We need a program council. That was the general feeling. We were also introduced to the organization of the Overcomers and saw how their broadcasting equipment and emerged from the event with a possible partnership for a live stream broadcast with them at KPFA. And we will also email these notes to you, Craig, for your records.
And I'm Carol Wolfley, and another project that we worked on was we had a table at the last First Friday event on June 6th in Oakland, and it was a great opportunity to talk with a lot of people, introduce KPFA to some people, and also to hear back from people about what kinds of concerns they have in their communities and what kinds of things they want on the air. And one of the things that came out of that was that the First Friday organizers contacted us, and they are wanting to partner with KPFA in some way so that we could work with them. And this gives us it will give us an opportunity to get information, get input from the community, and also to do outreach work in the community to let people know, and maybe have some programs, do some live or recorded segments at First Friday about things that are happening. And I wondered, I'd like to just ask back for those of you on the local station board, if you have any ideas or suggestions for us or how to proceed with this, because, you know, normally I can hear the transition that there is with general station manager, and so who's the, how should we move forward with that? I wondered if anybody has any ideas.
David?